Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown great mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, lie about you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be excited, because great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a cover. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father.
Well, right on, everyone, and welcome once again. My name's Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel. I'm thrilled that you're here. Matter of fact, this is the time I'm going to invite you to get your Bibles. If you did not happen to bring a Bible, we still have some of those ancient, wonderful artifacts called a paper edition. And if you just raise your hand, we'll put one of those in your hot little hands. Also, you could go online and use one of maybe your own electronic app to get your Bible up and running. We're going to Matthew chapter 5. We are so thrilled. When I say we, Ainsley and I, coming back from vacation, we're thrilled to see you. Thank you for being here at Hope Chapel this morning. That's just part of our delight. And our guests who are here, thank you. You are our guests, not visitors. Guests, come back. I want you to know. Visitors, bye-bye. So thank you, dear guests. Just to let you all know, Ainsley, would you like to wave to everybody and say, "We are thrilled"? Look at that. I love that woman. So we're thrilled that we're here. We went to Oregon, had a wonderful, outstanding experience naturally up there. It's kind of been our little bit of our choice of direction over 25 years, watching our own children grow up there and kind of do our whitewater rafting. Now they're bringing their children up, and we button them up with a life vest and throw them on a little Tahiti, and down they go, bye-bye. Kind of like Moses, but it's so cute. Love it, love it. But we're glad to be back. I know you're asking, "Well, Pastor Paul, do you have any jokes?" Well, I do, and I just want to add, you know, Oregon is a different culture. Just to let you know, if you thought hippies were dinosaurs and they don't exist, they're there. They are there. And so the one story, and even in church, the culture is a little different. So this story goes that a pastor had a reputation of preaching really long messages. And so during this one particular message, he continues on, and right away, this man in the back decides to get up, go out of the church, and then toward the end of the service, he comes back on in. The pastor concludes the message, he concludes the service, and out by the double doors, he's asking now this man, "Hey, where did you go? What's going on?" He said, "Well, Pastor, I went to get a haircut." He said, Why didn't you go get that haircut before the service?" He said, "I didn't need one before." Ha ha. Ha. Oh. All right, one more just to see if you're engaged. Another pastor, just I'm talking about temperance, because up there they've legalized marijuana, and you could see little places where they've got groves going on. The fence companies love it, because naturally by law you got to do 6-foot wood fence and then another 5-foot screen green fence, and you just know, ooh, there's something going on in there. But anyway, so the pastor is preaching temperance, and he was really going after alcohol. And he said, I know what my choice is, and this is what my choice would be. I hope you'll agree. He said, man, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd throw it all into the river. If I had all the wine in the world, I'd go and throw it all in the river. If I had all the whiskey in the world, I would throw it all in the river. That's what I would do. And he sat down. Well, the song leader got up and he said, well, our concluding song is found in hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River? And everybody said, I think we might. We just, church picnic. Well, friends, if you've been with us, we are on our summer series. That summer series is really kind of going along with our theme for the year, which is God's kingdom seen in 2017, Matthew 6:33. But our summer series is really entering the kingdom and checking it out with the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. And this is that fourth message in that series. We've been together when God started talking about just that attitude, that poor attitude, because once you realize you have a need, and then you go and you mourn the aspect of your sin, and then you come to that area where you recognize that meekness, where you acknowledge your dependency upon the Lord. That really sets you up for our message as well. We knew it was progressive. Remember that these Beatitudes are actually progressive. And that when we look here, we're looking at something that we've entitled today's message, Hunger, Hungry and Thirst for What? And Lord, thank you for opening our hearts. And as we open the word, Lord, do what you do so well. You always help us and direct us in Jesus' name. Verse 1, and we'll proceed to verse 6. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You take a look at your notes, you have that verse, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Or another word would be satisfied. They shall be satisfied. How many remember ever hearing the song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction? Remember that? Mick Jagger, Stones put it out. And just in case you hadn't, because very young group here, the lyrics go like this, can't get no satisfaction, can't get no satisfaction, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I mean, that's... I'm sure you got it memorized. I can't get no satisfaction. So when we look at that, you realize, man, no wonder why that song was so popular, because it related to the culture, and it's an accurate condition of our culture even today, is that satisfaction seems to be so elusive. And if you're feeling like, man, there's just something that's not quite right with my life, then, wow, I'm so glad that you're here and so glad that you're watching. Because it's Jesus who said, those who hunger and thirst are the happy ones. They're going to be satisfied. I've heard a lot of people over the years who have often said, my life seems so empty, or I've got a lot of things in my life. I still feel like there's something that is missing, or I feel like, man, I just don't love my life. Something's not quite right. Or is there anything else? Because you imagine there can be that times, and there's the possibility that even Christians still today maybe even can sing those lyrics of Mick Jagger, I ain't got no satisfaction going on. And I've got a lot I can actually say, look what I've done. But if I were to be transparent, I'm not very fulfilled. Mother Teresa seemed to have it together when she said this. She said once that the people in India are physically hungry, but the people in America are spiritually hungry. Therefore, she said, the people in India are better than the people in America because the people in America do not know what they're hungry for. When we take a look at what Jesus is saying here, we want to address some things in our first point, righteousness. Because Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because our message is for what? For what? Well, that word righteousness, when we just kind of address that, you can see on your notes, blessed are those who long rightly. A couple of things that come. First, that area of hunger, because you realize Jesus is not speaking to American audience here. He's not speaking to people like you and me. He's not doing that. You and I, we really, many of us have never really experienced hunger or thirst to the point of death. Where it's like, man, it's top priority. Let's just go out and get food. Usually it's like, hey, what do you have a taste for? I think I feel a twinge of a Big Mac coming on. His audience, they know what it is to be hungry. So when he's using this term, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, man, they know what it's like. It's an ardent craving for food. It's a need something to drink or I'm going to die. That's that word hunger here. So when we deal with that element of hunger, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. He's addressing something where a person desires something so much, their perspective is willing to change what is important, what is top priority. Now that's a hungry person. You're not hungry enough, you won't change. The perspective will not change. That casual desire for someone's stomach growling at night is not what he's talking about here. One story told about the sinking of the Titanic is about a wealthy woman who was about to get into the lifeboat. And just before she jumped on in there, she told the deckhand, she goes, I forgot something in my stateroom. Ma'am, you can't go. I've got to go. You have 3 minutes and we will then launch this little dinghy down. She ran back. It says as she went through the casino, strewn money all over the table. She bypassed that. She avoided the antique crystals. She went into her room, reached over her expensive jewelry and gold and grabbed 4 oranges that she preserved from lunch. It's amazing when you hunger for something and you realize, I'm willing to change. That's the kind of perspective Jesus. It's a radical changing of our perspective on important items. Jesus said, happy people are those who hunger and thirst. For what? For righteousness. So, letter A, a passion for right living. We could literally say it that way. Or as Jesus could easily say, right living or living rightly. There's 2 means by which we could do that. But it's a specific righteousness, and that word really comes with an area of hunger or passion. Man, I just want to do what's right. I like that so much that God helped me many, many years, and I like hanging out with people, how? With this. Though we make a lot of mistakes, I'm one. My heart is I want to do what's right at all cost. I want to do what's right. Even if it costs me. I remember seeing in James chapter 4, verse 7. In James 4, you can read that along with me. Verse 17, excuse me. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So what the Bible is saying, if somebody knows to do good, and they say, I'm just not going to do it. I don't want to do rightly. It's as if they chose to do what they know is really, really wrong. It's both sin. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So doing the right thing. Letter B, a passion for right relationship with God, I really think is probably a more accurate thing with the word righteousness. That has that term of justify. God is justified, and we can have a great relationship with God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. It is not anything we deserve. I'm going to tell you, God is really in love with you, and he wants to enjoy you. He's just looking for you to hunger and thirst for a right relationship with him. Back in 2002, Elizabeth Smart, that time she was reunited with her family in Utah. She was kidnapped and held captive for 9 months, living in a way that she did not choose. 9 months. The pain of that ordeal, she's now coming out of that, but during that 9 months of her captivity, I'm sure she longed for home. She longed for her family. She had a passion to say, I need to get home. I don't think there was any thought saying, you know, I've left some of my chores undone. I didn't really quite straighten my room. That wasn't it. She was thinking, I want my family. The same with her parents. They worked very hard. National publication, we're looking for Elizabeth. I'm sure never once did they say, we really are looking for our daughter so she could come home and kind of take care of her chores that are left undone. They wanted her because they loved her. The point I'm making, see, God wants a relationship with you. God does not want us to come to him to get stuff done. He loves us and created us, and we belong to him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they're going to be satisfied. You come to God and engage him. I'm telling you, nothing else will satisfy. So as long as you see your relationship to Jesus as just a commitment to obligation, or the right thing to keep it going, or duty, you won't be satisfied. I'm sorry. We like our discipleship program. Oh, it's so good. People draw close to God. There's a lot to be done in those programs. But if you or I see that it's only a duty-bound kind of project, we really want to invest in you with the right tools so that you hear from God. That you spend time with God. Man. But if you just go through a program out of duty, and then when you're all done, you have that certificate of completion, and then bypass having any time with God, maybe I have failed. God wants and desires a right relationship with us. Now, there is duty that does happen out of that relationship. I like that in John 14, verse 15, where Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So that's not a difficult thing to fall in love with God who just loves you. He just wants to clear everything out and just, hey, let's have some time together. So when we look at this point number two, to experience satisfaction, just in case you're here and say, man, how do I kind of engage God again? And it's not happening for me. Something's lacking. Something's missing. Letter A, I would just recommend recognize your real need. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 37. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get there. John chapter 7. God made us spiritual beings. We're spirit, soul, and body. If you eat 3 square meals, man, you're pretty satisfied physically, and you have good intelligence and good emotional conversations going on. That feeds that soul, and But since we're spirit beings too, and God is a spirit, John 4, 23, 24, God wants to engage you and he longs for us to be with him. But check out in John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, let me pause there and tell you what's going on. This feast and the last day, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is a big deal for the Jewish people. Man, they loved this. This is like for an American rolling in Thanksgiving and Christmas into one big event. Man, let's go for it. Yeah. It's big. They liked this. And on the last day, the high priest would go down to the pool of Siloam and dip a pitcher to draw water. Now, we were at the pool of Siloam. I'm looking forward to showing you the pool of Siloam. It was awesome. Kind of like, wow, I can't believe it. It's kind of in the backyard of some of this obscure person. I mean, I even took a little rock. I just hope they don't mind. We're at pool of Siloam. The high priest takes the pitcher of water and walks a long distance back into the temple and pulls and pours the water over the sacrifice. It's at that time that the Levites blow the trumpet and the people shout. They take hold of the wording, Isaiah 12, 3, that says, with joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. Man, they start dancing, they start shouting, singing. It is a jubilee kind of time. That's it. That's when Jesus is saying, if anyone thirsts, anyone means anyone, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he spoke about the Holy Spirit. Somebody who's lacking still, unfulfilled, man, blesses that person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, a right relationship with God. Ooh, I like that. See, Jesus, in that setting, Jesus knew that drinking from this river of ritual will eventually cause the people to go back to their old style of life and face the same old fears and the same old faults and the same old frustrations. Hey, I went to Hope Chapel today, but man, nothing's changed. I don't know if going to church is going to do it for me. You missed it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Jesus says, hey, who's ever out there and thirsts, let him come to me. Well, I'm going to go call the pastor for it. No, you go to Jesus, then you and I have something we can really talk about. We check those things out. It's an amazing thing. Saint Augustine, he said this, you made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. Man, how real is that? Recognize your need. Stop eating spiritual junk food. Well, how does that happen? Well, it's interesting because Isaiah 55, 2, I list that for you. The prophet through the Spirit of God saying, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? He says, come to me, come to me. So stop spending your energies and wasting the majority of your time and energy on things that really don't satisfy. I mean, really, it's, but there's just something in the human nature and the human psyche. That's what kind of addictions are all about. They don't quite fulfill the same level. So somebody who's steeped in illicit wrong viewing of things like pornography, wrong thought patterns, imagery, even substance abuse, that just need a little bit more to get to that level that would bring some form of temporary satisfaction. So we could ask ourselves our priorities. What have you been reading most? What do you watch most? What do you listen to most? When you need some advice, who do you go to? Are those not very spiritual at all people. Do they never really bring up the name? Matter of fact, they probably wouldn't even pray for you before you end the conversation. So, if the answer to those questions are not godly influences, and you must be very parched, not very satisfied. I'll tell you, may the Lord stir in our hearts that longing for Him. So, I just want to add, and probably you are aware of, a wrong place that we could probably put a lot of emphasis is performance and probably possessions. I just throw that out there. I've certainly enjoyed both, but I'll realize we have to be careful, dear leaders of our homes and dear leaders of our families, if we somehow teach the myth of success produces satisfaction, you might find your young person now at your age says, why did they lead me down the wrong path? It's amazing to kind of sit and engage and have vacation time, and I just adore my adult kids. They each, all three are married now and have two children each. And see how they bring their own children up, and they're doing so well. I'm very proud of them. We're proud of them. But there's always that reminder, as you increase with possessions and wealth, you must remember only a close relationship with Jesus satisfies, not just a belief or kind of like show up to church. Remember that, son. Remember that, daughters. Remember it's a relationship. God is not into religious elements. Christianity was never intended to be a form of religion. It was to be and continues to be a relationship. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for that kind of relationship. So when we take a look here, I think it's wonderful. Even possessions, just add Ecclesiastes 5:10, those who love money will never have enough. And we've acquired a couple of things recently, and if it's reading the little manual, it says satisfaction guaranteed. Isn't that true? How long? How until, you know, then it grows old and gets broken, and it's like, well, okay. But let's look here finally, letter C. Start looking to Jesus for your satisfaction. If you're there in John, please go to chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, verse 35. What is the key to happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction? What is it? Man, here it is. Just seek your happiness in a relationship with God. I would encourage you, if you're not setting aside at least 20 minutes a day, many of you have our how to spend a half an hour with God in prayer. If it's not 20 minutes a day without multitasking, by listening to some form of Christian radio, but you're just sitting in the presence of God, then you need to get back to those simple elements of saying, Lord, I just want to be with you, not asking anything of you. The Bible repeatedly teaches us that happiness, a byproduct of happiness, and this is biblical, is seeking God. Our theme this year has Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Isn't that what that Matthew, I mean, here, same terminology. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, once again, I like to make mention, if you are making happiness your goal, you will not acquire it. That's a bummer. But if you go after Jesus, and you hunger and thirst for time with him, and you're going to have it all. You're going to have it all. And I love my life. If God does anything more for me, I feel, that's enough, God, it's enough. I feel like I'm the most blessed man in all the world. But I prioritize my time with him. Come here at 6, you'll be with me. Prayer, 6 to 7, come on. Chapel prayer, it's great. But when we take a look here in John 6:35, John chapter 6, verse 35, check out what he says here. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, He who believes in me shall never thirst. It's so simple that dear parents and grandparents, remind your children that once they acquire and accomplish, you've got to let them know. Listen, just in case your life becomes sorrowful and hits the fan, remember what I told you. Just come to Jesus. Be with him. Let his presence transform everything of your life. But you will be so satisfied. So, with that in mind, thank you, worship team, for coming. I hear Jesus saying to us, if you want to be satisfied, if you want to be filled, then passionately, intently, above anything else, hunger and thirst, long for and seek a right relationship with me. I hear Jesus saying that. Matter of fact, let's stand to our feet. Let's engage this song right now. Took him outside the village, walked him down, and said, join me in the middle of the water. He did, and he told the student, submerge yourself in that water. The young man dipped himself. The master put both hands on his head and held him under the water. Instantly, that student flailed his hands in the water and into the air, trying to get up. He held him down even longer. Eventually, when the master let him up, the young man just gasping for air and taking in oxygen. The master said, until you desire God like you desire to breathe, you'll not really know him. We need to have that hunger, top priority. You might not really get to know him. It's important, even in Jeremiah 29:16, if you seek for me and search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. I like the reference we have in Psalm 42:1-2. And check it out. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. I cry out to you, the living God. I like that. Would you just close your eyes with me for a moment? And you're here right now. And if that's your heart's desire, and you say, man, I need to engage God. I don't want to go through the motions. I want to know him. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's it. I'm ready to take on a full expression. Great. Thank you. God sees your heart. I'm looking at your hands. It's helpful for me. Anyone else want to just shoot that hand up? Thank you. Go ahead and put those hands down. Thank you. Anyone else? Good. Thank you. Maybe for some of you, this might be the first time you just put your confidence in Christ as Savior and Lord. You believe he exists, but Oh, that's just a great beginning. Say, Lord, I want to really feel like I'm walking with you and engaged with you. You repeat this simple prayer after me. Prayer goes like this out loud. Dear Jesus, I surrender all. I thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life for me and rose to life for me too. I take that life now, and I want to live it for you. I want to live it with you. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We just thank
you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.